listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 82. Hey, everybody, this is DJ Chuang for the Social Media Church Podcast, a special live edition being recorded before the World Wide Web audience here on Google Plus Hangout on Air. We invite you to join the conversation by clicking through the event link at socialmediachurch.net, and that'll bring you into the Google Plus Hangout page, and then you can add your questions, and we'll take some questions at the second half of our conversation. And today, my special guest is Greg Atkinson, a longtime veteran of social media, and we're going to talk about social media, because this is the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Greg, thank you for joining me for a live edition.
Hey, DJ, thank you for having me. I'm honored and excited to be here.
Start with how you got started in social media. You've been on for how many years now?
I started in 2006, so I guess 8 years. I'm not always an early adopter, but when it comes to Facebook and Twitter, I guess I kind of was, and had a fascination with it, got on it early. It really clicked with me, and been a social media enthusiast ever since. I don't consider myself an expert at all, but I am an enthusiast, and I do love encouraging pastors and church leaders to use social media.
How you've seen social media be useful for you as a church leader yourself?
Yes, well, for me, it breaks down that clergy-laity wall and makes the pastor a lot more approachable, accessible, relational. People oftentimes in ministry, they see you up on a stage, and there's this distance that's felt between them. And so for years, I have used social media to let people see that I'm just a normal, regular guy. I'm going on a date night with my wife, or I'm taking my son to a baseball game, or I'm taking my girls to a happy hour at Sonic. I let them see inside my life, and that's something I've been passionate about. A few years ago, I wrote the foreword for Facebook for Pastors, and I talked about why I thought all pastors should be on Facebook, and it's basically this reason, that it breaks down walls and lets people see you as a normal person and relate to you better.
Each other through social media. So do you remember the first time that we connected?
It was a long time ago. I know we met online first, and then got to meet in person numerous times. You used to travel to Dallas a lot working with Leadership Network, and we would get together, and then I came out speaking at some conferences in California, and we'd meet up then. But yes, we first connected on social media, and that's what I love about it, because I'm a huge networker at heart. I love meeting people.
We got connected through blogs, because back in 2006, Twitter did not exist and Facebook did not exist. And look at the world now. It's changed so fast.
Yes. Yes. I've been blogging for a long time.
Now, for many church leaders, they're not known as early adopters, and that's okay. They're normal people like everybody else, but many, many people are on social media now. So what do you say to a church leader that's needing a little encouragement to get started and using social media more effectively?
Sure. Well, I love speaking on social media, and I get to do it at some conferences from time to time, and I have the same thing that I usually say. Huge reason that pastors should be on social media is because it's the language of our day, and that's where the people are. I believe 3/4 of the world are on social media, and I usually share a story about how I used to work for a pastor who had been a missionary for 14 years, and he would always share with me insight into the life of a missionary and how they think. And so I had that ingrained into me years and years ago. And I started thinking about, you know, when I went to Kenya or when I went to Haiti, I didn't try to get them to learn my way of doing things, my language, my style of music, and et cetera, et cetera. I spoke through a translator, and I got to know them in their world. And people today are on social media, so if we want to connect with them, if we want to engage in conversation, which I hope is the goal, and be relational and approachable and accessible, which I'm passionate about. Too many pastors come across like they're untouchable and you can't get near them. And so if you want to be accessible, then I encourage you to take social media seriously.
And how about the issue of time? Because many church leaders and people in the executive role or ministry role, they're concerned with the stewardship of their time, and social media could take up hours very quickly. So how do you advise church leaders about that?
Yes, the great theologian Bill Gates once said, technology is just a tool. And we have to keep it in its proper perspective. And for years, I've talked about boundaries and dark days. I have days where I avoid social media and just do a fast from it, just to keep it in its proper perspective. It can quickly eat away at your time if you're not careful and you don't set boundaries. If you just sit there with your Facebook newsfeed open all day and scroll through it, you won't be productive and you won't get anything done. But if you say, hey, at 10 a.m., I'm going to check social media, and then I'll check it again at 4 p.m. and maybe at 8 p.m. at night when I'm at home, you know, if you set some times and some boundaries, it can be healthy, but it is very tempting to spend too much time and to get engrossed with it, and then you don't get the rest of your job done, and that can be dangerous. It can also become an idol. It can be something that takes a place in your life that social media shouldn't have, a place that's reserved for God. And so I think it was last fall, I took a break from all social media, Twitter, Facebook, blogging, you name it. I was off of it for 30 days, an entire month. And man, I loved it. I came back refreshed. I came back with a new perspective. I realized that a lot of things I used to post in the past were silly and didn't make any sense. I remember when I first started the 30-day fast, I saw my dog doing something silly, and I wanted to take a picture and say, look at my dog. And something inside of me said, Greg, that's ridiculous. Nobody cares about your dog. And so it just gave me perspective, and it was good to be away from it for a while.
Good learning, and appreciate the practical tips. So schedule it during your on your calendar during the course of the day, just like you would schedule an appointment and so on, and kind of keep the time limit on there, so you learn to hold boundaries and discipline. Any other thoughts about fasting?
Yeah, I would add when I used to travel teaching about social media, and I would talk about dark days, I would see people tense up. And if you experiment with it and just say, okay, on Tuesday I'm not going to look at social media at all, if your hand starts shaking and you're anxious to pick up the phone and look at it, or pick up your laptop and look at it, then you've got a problem, and it's an awareness issue. And so I use those dark days just to keep things in perspective. If I'm really struggling and dying to check Facebook, then I know I've got issues. And so I just encourage people to give it a shot and see if it's a struggle or if it's no sweat to do a dark day. And, you know, we as church leaders, one of the things that I'm passionate about is having a well thought out strategy of how we want to engage people with social media and use it. Jesus in Matthew 10:16 talks about being shrewd as a snake. And so I don't think strategy is a bad word. I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking through why we do something, how we do something, but we've got to use it properly.
Now, in terms of social media strategy, you're currently the editor of Christian Media Magazine, which is an online magazine with lots of articles about all kinds of church media and especially social media. So how do you try to editorially guide those articles to help church leaders about social media?
Yeah, great question. I'm excited and proud to be associated with Christian Media Magazine. We're doing some new and exciting things. Our heart is to try to be a resource to church leaders. And when I came on board, I said there's a lot of things that I'd like to change from a vision or visioneering standpoint. And one of the things that I started was to bring on board featured writers and contacted some of the best in the business, as you would say, of church leaders and practitioners and social media professionals, and started finding some great content. And so my job as editor is to think, would this help me in my ministry context? Would this help me be a better leader? Would this help me be a better equipper? Would this help me reach more people for Christ? And so I'm always excited to see what our writers come up with and the content they're putting out. The majority of them are practitioners in the local church, and a couple are just social media professionals that do it for a living. And they come up with the content. I just make sure it gets out there to our subscribers.
Awesome. And your magazine has collected over 100+ articles about social media and how to use it well. So which ones have gotten the best response?
Yeah, I went and looked at ever since I started tracking which articles got the most hits, and various articles on worship and movies and things like that got a ton of views. But the two social media articles that got the biggest response, one was by Dale Hudson about what to do when a volunteer posts something inappropriate. That really hit a nerve. And then the other was by Phil Bodle with Westridge Church. He did a 5-day experiment on the power of social media, and that also hit a nerve and resonated with a lot of people. And it was highly instructional and gave you step-by-step of how to lead through a social media campaign. And those are our most popular posts to date.
We'll add a link in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net so others can also take a look at that. What are you most excited about as you work on the Christian Media Magazine and create more space about social media? It's such a fast-moving and developing thing.
Well, I saw an infographic a while back about how many people are on social media and then how many pastors are on social media, and it was surprisingly low. And so we still see our mission, you'll see it on our Twitter profile, as educating, highlighting, and celebrating media for Christians and church leaders. And so educating is a big part of it. We're trying to raise awareness, to give practical helps and how-tos. We've got some great content about here's how to utilize volunteers at your church to help with your social media team and plan. And educating is a big part of our mission to resource and equip church leaders, because we want them to be on social media and we want them to use these tools that are accessible to us.
And you are also a consultant. So we're going to go through your various roles here. You're also a consultant with different churches, and you do a number of different things. And one of them is you evaluate a church's web and social media presence. Describe the process you do for churches and to help them to evaluate their social media presence.
Sure. I love consulting with churches, and sometimes a church will hire me as a secret shopper to come in for a weekend experience and evaluate everything they do. And part of that process includes their online presence, and I evaluate that at home before I ever travel to their church. And then sometimes a church will hire me to just do the online presence where there's no airfare costs, no hotel, no rental car. They just say, we want you to evaluate our online presence. And so what I do is I go through and I look at their website and I tear it apart. I go through every link and every page, and I see if it's dynamic or static, and if it's up to date, if it's current, if it's got, if they're still talking about Valentine's Day and they're not talking about Easter and things like that this time of year. And then I follow them on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram if they're on Instagram, and I just see how they utilize it. A lot of churches just by default are in broadcast mode where they just post announcements, come to this, be at this, don't miss this. And it's very one-sided. And what I look for is a keyword that we look for in a lot of our articles on Christian Media Magazine is engagement. And are they really engaging people in conversation? Is there a dialogue happening? Are they asking questions? What did you think about blank? You know, maybe there's a point that the pastor made Sunday in a sermon. What did you think about this when Pastor so-and-so said it? And then responding, you know, one of the things that we've interviewed some social media managers of churches like Corin at Mars Hill in Seattle and others. And one of the things that I'm always looking for is there a social media reply or comment out there by somebody in your church or community that did not get responded to? And because I hate to see that. And so if you ask that question and somebody responds to it, you need to be ready to respond back and to engage in conversation with them. And so I'm always looking to see, same way with Facebook, is it a broadcast model or is it interesting? How do they use pictures? Pictures are huge now, and that's why Instagram is just blowing up. And so some of the most creative churches that I keep my eye on and I see really use Instagram in a creative and powerful way, both Instagram photo and video, and then they post it to their Facebook as well. But just looking for engagement.
Engagement is definitely one of the buzzwords of the day, and we're going to drill down a bit into what that really looks like. You've mentioned that it means replying to those that might mention or ask a question of your church through something like Twitter or Facebook, and those are pretty easy to cover. There are some tools on Twitter dashboards like Hootsuite or TweetDeck that might give you some numbers and metrics in terms of measuring engagement. And over at Facebook, they've got a big insight dashboard that's kind of you need an engineering degree maybe to read that chart, but maybe you can help us decipher some of that. What does engagement really look like on Twitter and then on Facebook? And then third, you mentioned Instagram. So go through each of those, please.
I'm like you. Some of the analytics that they put out, you do need an engineering degree. And so, like I said up front, I don't claim to be an expert, but I look to see if there's like on Facebook an organic reach besides just paying to promote a post or advertising, are they just naturally connecting with people and people responding to them organically, which you can do by the way that you post and the way that you engage in conversation. I'm looking for intentionality. Why they post? Is it just a, it's 10 a.m., it's our standard time, we got to put something out, and it's back to that broadcast model? Or is it, we have something to say, this is the church's voice, this is our vision, this is our mission, this is what we're about, and constantly casting vision. It's a part of the church's brand, which means it's a part of their identity and how they represent themselves to others online. And the cool thing about social media which you hear some neat stories about, is you never know who's watching. There's a lot of lurkers out there, and there are people who may be following your church on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook that you're not aware of. They have never darkened the door of your church. They just stumbled across you, or maybe they're in your city, in your neighborhood. And I always tell people when I consult with churches, they check you out online long before they walk through the door of your church. And so there is a whole community out there in whatever city you live in that is watching you online, and they may be skeptical, they may be cautious, they may be nervous, and they're looking to see if you have some personality, if you have, that'd be another part of engagement, of just seeing the personality of the church. Some people post humorous stuff, funny stuff. Some people post little tweetable quotes from the pastor's message that have impact and that encourage people, quotes about grace, quotes about love, quotes about hope. I'm thinking of Central Online in Las Vegas and Judd Wilhite and how they use all their social media channels, and Pete Wilson at Cross Point in Nashville and how they use their social media channels there. When I think of Judd, I think of grace. And so I would feel comfortable visiting his church. When I think of Pete Wilson, I think of hope, and I would feel comfortable visiting his church. And so you never know who's lurking out there and who is checking you out from a distance before they come walking through your physical door. And so I would encourage you to really think through, what kind of message do we want to send? What kind of social media presence do we want to have? Do we want to be a church that's known for grace? Do we want to be a church that's known for hope? Do we want to be a church that's known for second chances? Things like that. And because some churches, like in that broadcast model, are known as preachy churches. They come across too strong, too overbearing, and they scare people off. And the way they use social media intimidates or frustrates or discourages people. And so people never walk through the physical doors of their church. And so you really have to have, and this is with your staff, this is definitely with your senior leadership, you have to have a discussion of what's our social media identity? What is it we want to come across like? What message are we trying to see? And this is going to be closely tied to the vision of the senior pastor. What has God laid on his heart? When you think of Judd Wilhite, you think of grace and second chances, and that's what he's passionate about. And so when you see their church reflected online, you see grace all over the place. When I think of Pete, obviously he wrote a book on Let Hope In. They're offering hope to people. And so it's closely tied to the vision of the senior pastor and his heart. And then it's not usually typically the senior pastor posting on social media channels, depending on the church, but the person that is posting, whether they be volunteer or paid staff, they need to be reflecting the pastor's heart.
There are some churches that do like to be preachy and stand up for the truth. Do they have a place in social media then? Because they're going to be a bit abrasive.
Well, they have the right to do that. I don't know if it's effective or not. You know, God is the judge. God will tell. Time will tell. It wouldn't attract me to them. You know, it wouldn't endear me to them, where I would say, I want to go visit that church. You know, because I more resonate with grace and with hope and with love. And with passion. There's nothing wrong with passion. If you're passionate about the gospel, if you're passionate about mission, if you're passionate about community, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're coming across with thou shalt nots and a little, you know, too preachy, you're probably going to run away the people that you in your heart really want to reach. And so you just have to think through, here's our demographic that we're trying to reach. Here's our target. Here's who, the kind of people that live in our community, what is the best way to engage with them and to reach them. And if it's not the preachy way, then abandon that and do something more effective.
One more question, and we're going to take some from our viewers who are watching this special edition of Social Media Church Live, and we're here with Greg Atkinson. You mentioned earlier one of the biggest questions that church leaders are concerned about is, what do you say when someone says something inappropriate back in a reply or a question or a comment?
I am going to steal from Dale Hudson, who wrote the article on it, because he had such great pastoral insight, and it really resonated with our audience on Christian Media Magazine. And he gave 3 points. I'm looking at my notes, so forgive me, but I want to quote him right. He gave 3 points. One was up front, be preventive. And he talks about your onboarding process with every potential volunteer, have them sign a social media agreement. And he said that this involves 3 things. If they currently have anything on their page that would be offensive or inappropriate or a stumbling block, to take it off. Secondly, to explain why their social media content matters, that it's an open testimony of their spiritual life. And if they join your team, then it represents your ministry's character and integrity. Third, ask them to sign an agreement that they will not post anything that is inappropriate or goes against the ministry's core values. You can be you, but don't go against your church's core values. Second, he talks about being personal. And if you find out that one of your volunteers posted something inappropriate, have a face-to-face talk with them, which is huge from a pastoral perspective. He says, bring the post to their attention, and then remind them of the why behind the guideline, why they had they signed a social media policy, and ask them about the post. And he talks about being pastoral, to speak the truth in love. We have to constantly remember that as leaders, speak the truth in love. And he said many times you'll find that they didn't even realize the post was appropriate. A lot of times they're not even aware. It's just a matter of bringing it to their attention and saying, hey, do you realize that when you post something like this, some people are going to think this, and that doesn't represent our church well. And so and I've had to have conversations like that in the past. And then he says to be persistent, ask them to take the post down. And then he goes into a little more intentional step of, if they take the post down, great. If they don't, then he's going to have another face-to-face, and if they refuse to take it down, he's going to ask them to not be a part of the team anymore, and that if they refuse to take it down, then they probably shouldn't be on your team to begin with. And so, like I said, this is probably our number one social media post on Christian Media Magazine. It really hit a nerve, and apparently people are dealing with this situation and just want to know how to pastorally handle it.
It's a common question, and it's a open town square, and so people can say anything and everything online. And my counsel to churches is, you can join the conversation and have your voice in it, or you can stay silent and default to what other people are saying and misrepresenting and being negative. So let your light shine in that darkness. Okay, we've got a question that came in from Jake. Thank you, Jake, for watching. Can you give examples of the best way to use social media in a worship experience, and how much is too much?
Man, that's a good question. When I think of a Sunday morning worship experience, I would not use social media during the parts of the service where the pastor is not preaching. If there's music and singing going on and prayer, you want people to be engaged in worship and to be present. And so that would, you talk about how much is too much, that would be too much if people are live tweeting the worship. Now, every now and then I will take a picture of the worship leader and say, and do a line from a song and post that, but I usually post it after the service is over. I will snap the picture during worship, and then I'll post something later after the service. But I do think there's some creative ways you could use social media during the message or during the teaching time. A lot of times pastors, and Rick Warren is great at this. They will give tweetable quotes, and their social media team will just jump on it and post out that little tweetable, less than 140 character quote that Rick Warren and others are so good at thinking through ahead of time. And they, in their message, they know that they're going to hit on these key themes that are quotable and tweetable. And so I do the same thing if I'm at a conference or in a worship service. If my pastor says something that I want, you know, the world to hear, then I'll tweet it out and say, Pastor Mark said blank, or Pastor Cody said blank, and share their quote. But yeah, if it distracts from worship, and this is where everybody's different, you have to know yourself. If it distracts you from worship, then just put it down. You know, don't do it. If it takes your focus off of God. But if you, and I know DJ, you know, you're a multitasker. If you can tweet during somebody speaking and still stay engaged and still hear their next point, then I think it's fine.
In a mixed audience, and many churches have multiple generations and different people, that some would get more engaged with using social media, as someone like myself, and then people I know would be distracted by using social media. They want to give their full undivided attention without anything in their hands. And so you have to be sensitive to your audience across the board. And a good example of that is Pastor Skip Heidzik in Calvary Church in Albuquerque. And in the first worship service, he preaches with a printed leather-bound Bible. And then in the second service, he preaches with an iPad, because he's sensitive to the different audiences that are receptive to digital technology versus the traditional printed technology. So yeah, you definitely have to factor that in. Get feedback before you try something crazy. And there are definitely ways to incorporate social media or even texting during a worship service. Thank you for that question. Today is a special day for you, Greg, because you've authored a new book titled Strange Leadership, 40 Ways to Lead an Innovative Organization. So does social media have anything to do with leading an innovative church?
It does. You know, one of the interesting things about this book, sometimes, well, let me back up. I wanted to set out to write a biblical view of innovation. And this book is from beginning to end covered in scripture and biblical principles. And there are 40 chapters, you know, 40 ways to lead an innovative organization. Only 2 chapters discuss technology and social media, 2 out of the 40. And so, you know, when I first started teaching on technology, I found that people thought innovation and technology were synonymous, that to be innovative, you need to use technology. And so I went out of my way to show there are a lot of ways to be innovative and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to follow God, to join God where He's at work, that have nothing to do with technology. But I did take 2 chapters to talk about social media. And yes, it has a place. And I shared some personal stories of how God has opened my eyes to how social media can lead to some spiritual conversations. And I'm excited about that.
Can you share one of the stories with us?
Yeah. There's actually 2 different things that go hand in hand. One is when I was on staff at Bentry in Dallas, I used to disciple and mentor a 15-year-old high school student. And one of the things we talked through was how to use Facebook in a missional sense, or in an intentional sense, a purposeful sense. And I would encourage him, hey, if you see a friend post on Facebook, "I hate my life," or "life sucks," or "I hate my parents," you know, that those are opportunities for you to message them and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," or "I'm here for you." And he started to live intentionally like that. And he's now full-time staff on Bentry. And so I'm excited to see the time that I spent investing in him. He's now in college and a full-time staff member at Ventry and serving in ministry. But we used to talk about how God could use him as a 15-year-old on Facebook to reach his friends. And one of the examples I shared with him was from several years ago. I used to follow this marketing guru on Twitter. She had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of followers. And for some reason, she followed me. And as you know, that allows me to be able to direct message. And in the book, Strange Leadership, I talk about a concept that I learned from Tony Stewart years ago when he was the online community pastor at Life Church. He introduced me to the concept of listening through technology. And it's something that has been drilled into my core, into my heart, into my being. I listen through technology. So I follow a wide variety of people on Twitter. And I'm always listening and learning and observing and trying to engage in conversation. And a word that I use all throughout the book is intentional. You have to be intentional to do this. And so Tony taught me about listening through technology. And so one time, this marketing guru who I'd been following for a long time, she posted that she was headed to the ER. This was Thanksgiving. She said, "Looks like I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving in the ER." And so I thought, "Uh-oh, what's wrong?" So I direct messaged her and I said, I saw your post about the ER. What's going on?" And she direct messaged me back and said, "I've had a heart defect ever since I was a child, and my heart is acting up. And so I'm gonna be here for the weekend, Thursday through Sunday or Monday." And so after praying about it for a while, and this person is not a Christian, and I know that she could unfollow me and we could never direct message again. After praying about it, I just sent her a simple direct message that said, "Is it okay if I pray for you?" And it seemed like it was forever before she responded back, but she replied, she direct messaged me and said, "Yes, that will be nice." And so I prayed for her. And I thought that was it. And then when she got out of the hospital on Monday, this marketing guru, apparently a lot of people follow her, but not a lot of people engage with her or picked up on that comment, because on Monday she said, "Out of the hospital, I'd like to thank at so-and-so, at so-and-so, at Greg Atkinson, and at so-and-so for caring about me and for asking about how I was doing." And we had a connection. And I talk about in the book having your spiritual antenna up. And who knows when she may go through a trial or a circumstance or a situation in her life in the future where she's in need of prayer again. And you never know when you're going to get that message of, "Hey, you're a Christian, right? Would you pray for blank?" And it's just planting a seed. And so that's one of the stories I share in the book of, and again, I wasn't preachy. I didn't preach at her. I just said, "Is it okay if I pray for you?" And I didn't offend her and kept the conversation open. And if she ever needs help again or needs prayer, she knows she can reach out to me. But I taught that 15-year-old that lesson at an early age, and I hope he's still using social media intentionally and listening through technology. And again, I want to thank Tony Stewart for teaching me that concept.
Here's a question from Twitter. Why do you think so many people are so intimidated by social media?
Man, that's a broad question. There is a learning curve in any new technology. I'm still in a learning curve with Instagram, learning how to best utilize it, learning the right hashtags. You'll see somebody post something on Instagram and there's like 50 hashtags after the picture. And it's like, I'm trying to pick up on common ones that people use, but, any new technology, until you, try it out is going to be intimidating. But years ago, I wrote a blog that got a lot of response for Leadership Network, and this was back I think you were running the blog, DJ, the digital blog for Leadership Network, and I wrote a post called Diving Into Social Media, and I just talked about just dive in with everything you got and try to learn it, try to embrace it, and try to give it your best shot and to take it seriously. And it got a big response because a lot of people are intimidated and a lot of people hesitate. And a lot of people, this is what I talked about in the post, a lot of people give up too soon. They'll say, well, we tried Facebook and it didn't work. And then if you dig deeper, you'll find out they were doing the broadcast model. Come to church tonight at 6 p.m. for prayer meeting. And that's it. And then they wonder why there's no engagement, no conversation. And they're like, well, we tried Facebook, but it didn't work. So we're off Facebook now. And I would say, stop. You're quitting too soon. You have to dive in. You have to commit to it and see it as a crucial part of your church's strategy, your church's vision, your church's mission, your church's DNA, that we are going to use whatever the technology of our day is. In my talks that I give on social media, I talk about Martin Luther using the technology of his day, John Wesley using the technology of his day. There are others throughout time that have used technology. I just read this quote online the other day. It says, Lauren Cunningham, founder of the Worldwide Mission Organization, Youth with a Mission, once explained how he used the technology of his day, which was air travel, to reach the world with the gospel. And then the quote says, for us to ignore the technology of our day, in parentheses, social media, to do the same would be irresponsible. And so we can't ignore the technology of our day. We can't ignore the language of our day. And in my book, Strange Leadership, I talk a lot about being courageous. And the Bible exhorts us over and over and over to be courageous. And a great book by Bill Hybels is Courageous Leadership. We need to be courageous, and that includes diving in, committing, and learning and getting over that learning curve. Another good thing that I would encourage you to do is to put your pride aside and to ask for help. And this is tough for our high D driven, big ego leaders that we have out there. They are kind of, I can do it myself. I taught myself to cut the grass. I don't need any help. You know, you just learn stuff on your own. And there's a lot that I learned on my own, but there's a ton of stuff that I asked people for help. I cannot tell you how many times, whether it be via email, text, phone call, coffee, lunch, breakfast, dinner, that I have asked somebody for help and picked their brain. Taking the initiative to say, hey, I don't fully understand such and such technology. Would you give me a little tutorial? That would go a long way.
There's plenty of young people that can help you.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Brad Bridges. What steps do you take to move strange/innovative ideas from strange to normal for those you lead?
Oh, that's good. In the book, there's a chapter on vision and the importance of casting vision. There's also a chapter on execution. And that, and I talk about, a good idea is one thing, actually implementing it is another thing. And, it takes an extreme amount of intentionality to take an idea from concept to completion. And, your job as the leader is to vision cast as much as possible. And at the beginning, a new idea may sound strange to people. If your church has never had a Saturday night service before and people think that you're crazy, who's going to come to church on Saturday? Is it even biblical to have church on Saturday? You know, people have all these questions, and you've done the research. You know that it's worked for several churches. You know you're out of space on a Sunday morning, and you didn't want to, you weren't ready to build a bigger building, or that's not an option. And so you've explored everything. You've hopefully cast the vision to your key leaders and influencers, and you've got them on board. And then you just have to say, as the leader, trust me on this. Now, when I say trust me, I'm not saying make a guarantee, because I quote Larry Osborne a lot in the book. He sent me some great ideas and quotes that he does at North Coast. And he says that when they introduce something new, and take this and run with it, friends. He says when they introduce something new at North Coast, they call it an experiment, and that they have permission to fail. And if it doesn't work, they'll pull it. And so when they launch a new venue, when they launch a new service, when they launch a new time, they say, this is an experiment. And if it doesn't work, we'll stop doing it. We're not committing for the rest of our lives. If it doesn't work, we'll start doing it. But one of the things that goes hand in hand with the concept of innovation is risk and failure. And you are going to fail your way to success. And that's what inventors and pioneers have done for years and years and years. And what we need to, the big picture that we need to work on as organizations, and I see some churches that really get this, is having a culture that allows failure, having a culture that embraces risk. I think of Craig Rochelle at Life Church saying that we are bet the farm risk takers, and they'll do anything short of sin to reach people with the gospel. And so they have, and Bobby Grunewald and their whole staff, they have a culture that embraces risk, and that you, they don't punish you for failure. In the book, I talk about, I was reading an article on an airplane one time in one of the airplanes magazines about a company that held a banquet every year, and they actually gave out awards for the biggest failures of the year. People who just shot for the moon, blew it, and the guy who blew it the worst, the biggest failure of the year, got sent on an all-paid vacation to Hawaii. Now, I don't know I don't remember the name. I should have took the magazine with me. I don't remember the name of the company, but I'd like to work for them, because they so embrace taking a risk that they would reward them with a trip to Hawaii. But you have to vision cast, and you have to, you know, tell people, we're going to try this and see if it works. There are no guarantees in ministry. And that's why it gets back to the biblical concept of walking by faith, is step by step, and asking God to direct our steps and to order our steps. And sometimes he only shows you your next step, just one step out. He doesn't show you all the way down the path. He may just show you one step. Take this step and be obedient. And then you just step by step, work your way forward. I have another chapter on progression, and I talk about taking a step, and if you fall, get back up and take another step forward and just progressively move ahead.
Well, that's we're going to wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church Live Edition with Greg Atkinson, and give you a minute for a closing thought about social media and where you see it making a difference in the church, and as we are in the midst of Easter season, what's on top of mind as you engage with churches and social media?
We've posted a couple different articles on Christian Media Magazine about Easter and social media. One was by Josh Burns from Park Community Church in Chicago. He had an Easter social media plan and gave a step-by-step campaign that they were doing for Easter. And then one that went live yesterday was from Steve Fogg in Australia. He posted about his favorite Easter church websites, and there were some great ones out there. Really like what your church, Saddleback, is doing with their Easter promotion and the design, the creativity, the innovation, the artwork that they're doing. But they are using it comprehensively. And so that cool look and design that you see with Saddleback, you see it on their Instagram, you see it on their Twitter, you see it on their Facebook, you see it on their website. And it's a complete branding. And what I would encourage you to do is whoever is managing the social media for your church, it could be you as a volunteer, it could be you as a staff member, it could be somebody you oversee. You're just one person, but you have, if you're a church of 100 or 200 or 500, you have access to people to encourage them to share it with their networks and their friends and their family and their people and their in your community that they can reach. And so it's that whole concept of going viral. You want to create a culture in such a way that you equip your people and say, okay, we're going to give you the tools. We're going to give you the graphics, the pictures that you can tweet about, the pictures you can post on Instagram, the sound bites, the posts that you can put on Facebook to invite people out to our Easter services. But we are entrusting this to you, our congregation. We as leaders need to give them the tools and the inspiration and the direction and then trust it to them to reach their networks. And there's no better time than right now leading up to Easter to invite people.
Greg Atkinson of Christian Media Magazine and StrangeLeadership.com. Thank you for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast.
Thank you, DJ.
Check the show notes for Social Media Church at the website socialmediachurch.net. And you'll have opportunity to connect with Greg Atkinson, check out his new book, review the articles on Christian Media Magazine, and also join the conversation here at Social Media Church. We'd love to hear from you through email or Twitter or Facebook or even text or voicemail. You can do that by using the phone number 949-354-3216 and leave a message or text a message, and we can incorporate it into a future episode. Please share this podcast and subscribe to it on iTunes or Android or Stitcher or whichever podcatcher app that you use, or just listen online. And you can find all the links and the buttons to click right through at socialmediachurch.net. Thank you for listening to the Social Media Church podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.